Hello everyone, welcome to a new season and the Pinken.com Norwich City podcast. My name is Michael Bailey for this first pod of the new term. We've got sports desk Pete Raven, chief EDP Norwich City writer Paddy Davitt and sports journalist David Freezer to talk about pre-season and what is to come for Norwich City in the EFL Championship. Now, I, like maybe some people listening, have seen very little of pre-season. I haven't got a clue. So who wants to go first on what they've made of Norwich City so far this pre-season?
Seeing as I've seen it all, I'll probably better qualify than you, my man, to give an opinion. What have I seen?
What haven't you seen, Patrick?
Yeah, they're struggling to defend, but they can look like they score goals, so that'll be a good recipe for entertainment. Whether it's a recipe for positive results, who knows? But I like the spine. John Ruddy, Tim Closer, Tete and Housen, Naismith. I know he doesn't have too many fans, perhaps, but having seen him over in Austria speaking to Alex Neil, he reckons he's as fit as he's ever been in his career, so maybe we'll start to see a return on a considerable investment. And then obviously another hopefully up top, so that's not a bad spine to be going into the season with, I would suggest.
And we'll get stuck into the transfer stuff, I'm sure, very soon. You've seen both home friendlies, Dave, without the other stuff. What did you make of it?
Yeah, Coventry was considerably easier than the Hanover game. They turned up very much more fired up for the game than Norwich. They played a really high press. They moved the ball out wide very well, and Norwich had two holding midfielders, which essentially wasn't needed. So although Jacob Murphy was the one that got hauled off midway through the first half so that Alex could correct that, the initial formation just hadn't worked, and Hanover were much more on their game. Defending certainly left a lot to be desired. As Pad says, perhaps it's not moved on a great deal from what we saw last season at the moment. The way that Olsen, Closer and Bennett all charged back towards the goal, particularly for the second goal, was quite worrying, because that just looked like blind panic. But you never know. Hopefully that will give them a bit of a kick to make sure that they're ready for Blackburn.
Yeah, we saw too much of that last year. I think the idea was that Alan Irvine coming in as coach might help with the sort of defensive abilities of the side, but we'll see. How much of pre-season have you enjoyed, Pete?
About as much as you, Michael. Next question. I never enjoy pre-season.
No, I'm not.
A waste of time for...
Shall we have a collective moan between the two of us?
It does sound like the Ruben Kazan game was a bit of a competitive workout. Was it red cards in a friendly? I've never heard of that before. So,
Do we think that might be Michael Turner's last action in a Norwich shirt getting sent off in a friendly? I guess it was kind of one of those unfortunate situations, Bad, wasn't it? Because it was two yellows, and it doesn't happen very often, does it? Someone getting sent off in a friendly, even for two yellows.
No, it's a fairly rare occurrence, as is a competitive actual game masquerading as a friendly, and that was certainly from start to finish, I've never seen a game like it, certainly in that setting, when you've got the Marman and Cameron Jerome ready to square up to players. And I don't know if it was, we'll blame it on the heat, because it was particularly warm that day, but just to take it back to what I said on that occasion, Stephen Naismith scored an excellent goal linked with Cameron Jerome. I'm sure people have seen the video subsequently, and you just see that and you think, well, you know, in the Championship, potential. But to be honest, we didn't see a great deal from Stephen Naismith against Hanover, so he's maybe, understandably, the jury will be out. But I just think, you know, he could have a decent season this season. I think if he is fit, and because that was a big issue when he came here, that he hadn't been playing games. Neil himself said his testing, the numbers weren't very favourable. So, you know, there'll be no excuses this time around. He's been in the building 6 months. Starting now, we need to start seeing the player that they paid the big money for.
This is what I do like, because while I don't get on too well with pre-season, I like the fact that we're now at the point where the proper stuff's going to get going. You're going to watch them in action and you can start making proper judgments about them. Have you made any judgments about players that you've seen on video clips and things, Pete? What's the things whirling around in your head before Saturday?
Well, where's his strike rate for a start? And one of his right foot as well. And Josh Murphy seems to have impressed as well. And like you say, Naismith's going to be the big one. You'd expect a player of his quality to shine in the Championship in the same way that Cameron Jerome finds the net quite regularly in the Championship, but not so much top flight. McGovern's a bit of an unusual one in what's been said in the press from Alex Neil, so there'll be some competition there, but it's, you can't keep three goalkeepers happy, can you? So you expect one to leave. Surprised that Tim Close is still here and Brady, but I guess that might be not much for much longer. Was there an injury at the weekend in the same way that Ross McCormack was left out of the Fulham squad? I don't know.
We seem to have taken us through to the transfer window speculation, Pete, very nicely. So I don't know where you want to start, Pad, but I mean, you mentioned John Reddy, you like him being in your spine. So for me, that answers your opinion on who's number one.
I'd be frankly amazed if he's not the number one at Blackburn Saturday. I think Alex Neil's been very clever there, because he's bringing a lad who, okay, club career wouldn't set too many pulses racing, but what he did in the Euros for Northern Ireland, this is a serious rival to John, and that's not meant to be detrimental to Declan or Jake Keane or Remy Matthews, but he's probably been in the comfort zone, and we might have seen an element of that last season where, you know, eventually it got to the point you had to dip him out. There'll be none of that this season. This lad is a serious rival for him. He's an experienced keeper who's impressed on the highest stage, so I just think that's quite canny from Alex Neil, because if you are John Ruddy now, you know, you drop off, you'll be out of the team. So, in other words, keeping him honest, so that's good business. And it didn't cost him a penny in terms of a transfer fee. So, yeah, but to take Pete's point, I don't think it's a good move for Declan Rudd, because he's now 25, I think, and another season basically sat on the bench. It's not going to do him personally any good. So I think there's a decision to be made there, definitely between now and September the 1st.
Because sadly they'll still probably need three keepers on their books in some form or another, because there is no loan window anymore. It is an ex-loan window. You can't loan players outside of a window, so Norwich need three goalkeepers in case one gets injured. Same token, as you mentioned, I mean, Deck has played basically one full season of football in his professional career.
Well, I spoke to McGovern after the Coventry game last week, after he'd made his debut, and he made one good save in that, really, didn't he? Pad, tipped one over the bar from their trialist in the second half.
He gets around. He turns up gets so many games during the summer.
He's always getting a chance somewhere, isn't he? He was. He seemed quite a down-to-earth bloke, quite a normal bloke. No sort of Premier League ego about him. And I was quite surprised when, straight away almost, he came out with, I'm not here to make up the numbers. I understand it's very competitive, but I want to play, which is good to hear. And the way he delivered that, it was, you know, there was a lot of determination behind what he was saying. So I wouldn't be surprised if he pushes John hard this year.
Absolutely. Sergi Canos, now he played for the development squad on Saturday, so he could definitely get 90 minutes, because he wasn't going to get that for the first team.
He's got a cracking goal as well, didn't he?
Indeed. And he is, well, him and McGovern are Norwich's only two signings so far this summer.
So far.
They're up.
It comes in as well. Will that then be considered decent business? I don't know. You look at the contracts tied up, two more years for Tetti. Are they going to then say that's our business done?
And a year for Whittaker.
Yeah. Four, a possible four for Cameron Drone.
And if managed to get Ricky off the books as well. So you look at that squad on paper, you just think, okay, he's not brought in a lot, but it's still a decent squad for the Championship. I'll be happy with that, just to get a striker in. I think then it's job done.
It's a lot of players and a lot of rebuilding, because there have been a lot of players having their pad with a year. Yes. Left on their contract, so it's been an interesting situation. I mean, should we go into the Ross McCormack stuff? It's ongoing. People will be sitting there going, whoa, what's happening, Paddy? Is it going to happen? And that's the sort of noise they'll make as well.
Is it? Fair enough. Yes, no, I understand people want to know, don't they? But what can you say at the minute as we sit here Monday afternoon? Nothing confirmed, but all I can say is now, you know, speaking to Alex Neil from basically Austria onwards, he's openly now admitting that he's the lad they want. There have been in discussions at least 2 weeks and possibly longer from what I can gather. The player wants to come. That's not an issue. It's simply, can Norwich and Fulham agree a fee? And certainly for a deal in that proportions, and let's be honest, we're talking club record money for Norwich. You know, it's not written on the back of a fag packet. There's so many clauses. You know, he signed a four-year deal to stay there in February. There'll have been loyalty payments and other such clauses, and they all have to be untangled. You know, it's not... Yes, OK, it's frustrating because, you know, you hear it's a long way down the road, but the reality is, these days, these deals, You look, if you want to draw a parallel, Man United, Juventus, Paul Pogba, that's all we keep hearing for God knows how long. It's every level of the game, whether it's the top end or it's, you know, just one or two levels below where Norwich are now. But, you know, he wanted, Alex Neil put a timeline on this, he wanted it done by Blackburn, so we'll see if they can do it. But, yeah, they want him, he wants to come. Will Fulham play ball? From what you look at it, they need money to do whatever they need to do in the market. They're getting linked with a lad from France, so without knowing the ins and outs of their finances, it would appear they need to shift him on to bring players in. So they can only play hardball for so long, I would suggest. But final point, Alex Neil quite openly admitting there will come a point where Norwich will say enough's enough. The phrase was, we haven't got all our eggs in the one basket. So, you know, at some point, fairly imminently, I would suggest they will say, right, goodbye, we'll go on to our next target.
Just briefly, Pete, Dave, Ross McCormack, Norwich City, want, need,
both, I think, want him, but need him and maybe one other, because we have lost a couple over the summer. You don't know what Lafferty's future is.
That I think we probably do.
Leave us a bit light up front, wouldn't it? I mean, yeah, definitely him and one other.
Definitely need and want as well. Yeah, I think if there's one player who you could say is the most guaranteed striker you could buy in the Championship, he's going to score your goals and he's got a good record of assists as well, probably McCormack. If it's 12 million, I'd go and just get it done.
The interesting thing for me, I mean, there's some speculation that he's got a £12 million release clause. So I don't know. I mean, obviously, as you said, it's a lot more complicated than that, Paddy, but you'd think if Norwich want him, that's the release clause. Bid £12 million, then you can sort the rest out later. But I guess things are never quite that straightforward, are they? We touch on the outs. Ricky Van Wolfswinkel. Anyone want to produce some sort of noise that describes Ricky Van Wolfswinkel's time at Norwich?
I think we need your reaction on Ricky's exit, having followed him from the start of his adventure.
Scouting is a very, very strong word for what I did. Well, clearly, there was something about him. Clearly, with a choice between signing Ricky Van Wolfswinkel or Wilfred Bony, they're not the same sort of player. So something went wrong there. And to me, the guy could run, could make runs, could score goals before he got here. He did it in the first game with his probably only chance. He created the best save in the second game. The third game, someone took a penalty off him. He broke his toe, and that was it. It was like he was a broken man after that. So we all know what confidence does for players, and as I say, he's just completely vanished through a seam of missed opportunities and loan spells out of here, and I think he probably never felt really very wanted either. But that's not to say the bloke didn't deliver, because he didn't deliver, and the Ricky Van Wolfswinkel we saw at Peterborough was doing exactly, making the same kind of mistakes and things that were a completely different wavelength to his teammates that we were seeing when he first came here. So something wasn't right, but bless him, lovely bloke.
It's a shame. I mean, I remember when he signed, I was in Manchester and I was sat in Piccadilly train station and was sat next to a Man United fan, and I saw it come up on Twitter and I was like, oh, wow, that sounds like a good sign. And even he was impressed, and he's a Man United fan. So it's sad to see that it's worked out like that, but I don't think Norwich fans would begrudge him to now go on and start scoring for Vitesse Arnhem if he did, because he probably will.
It's fair to say as well that Sporting, just on the final point, because I'm not going to labour the point, but Sporting were a pretty poor side when Ricky was there, certainly in the last season. And I remember going around Lisbon and speaking to Sporting and Benfica, a lot of Benfica fans, about what they thought of Ricky, and a few of them said, well, he wouldn't get in the Benfica side, we're not, you know, he's not. There was clearly a bit of indifference, and even the journalist I spoke to said, I don't know if he'll really adjust to the English game very quickly, and it took him longer than 4 years, it appears. So there we go. Redmond's obviously gone. Have we spoken about Nathan's departure? I can't remember if we did in the fixtures podcast, but that's a long time ago. So Gary O'Neill's obviously gone to Bristol City. We'll be seeing him very soon. So should we take a little break? We've got to do that now, haven't we, Pete? Take a little break
if you want.
That'll do. Right, welcome back. Hilarious. So, Championship. Who's Norwich's big rivals going to be this year? And is anyone not going to say Newcastle? Is there anyone else other than Newcastle? Where are Norwich going to finish? So many questions, Dave.
I think Derby will probably do well again because now they've got Nigel Pearson in. I think that one snuck under the radar a little bit. You know, this is a manager who has laid the foundations for the team who just won the Premier League and very much knows how to get to the Championship. There's already a very good squad there. Them and Brighton should be strong. I don't see Villa being good. I think that'll explode quite quickly.
Don't tell the chairman.
No. And I think me and Pad had pretty much the same reaction to Walter Zenga being appointed to Wolves on Saturday.
Really? When did that one? I was in Reefham.
I think we both said
that news didn't get to Reefham. Walter Zenga.
Yeah. That's just got a classic hallmarks of it, as a foreign owner coming in, thinking and chuck money at it. I mean, they've signed some fairly big name players from Spain and Portugal, I think it is, in the space of a couple of days. And I doubt these guys even Googled where Wolverhampton is, because they just went, how much? Yeah, great. I'm in.
Won't matter when they get promoted. Walter Zenga, of course, Inter Milan goalkeeper when Norwich played them in the UEFA Cup.
Yeah.
Amazing. That's amazing.
Have a look at his managerial record.
Don't worry about that.
In Dubai or something like that. So
yeah, Wolves are now one of the richest clubs in the country, and they've got him as their manager. I thought Leeds were always the comedy club, but there might be two this year.
I can't believe I'm in. God.
You would expect Sheffield Wednesday to do quite well again as well. But yeah, there are some decent. I think Derby will be the ones to watch.
There'll be teams that come from the ether. Yeah, of course, as well. How do you see it, Pad?
All of those, yeah. Sheffield Wednesday, I think, will be very good this season. Throwing some serious money at Stephen Fletcher. Whatever you think of Stephen Fletcher, I think he'll score a bag full in this league. So, certain individual good Hooper alongside him. It's not a bad front line. Rate the lad Lees quite highly. The centre back, if they hold on to him, then clearly they're going for it. So. Top six for Norwich.
Oh, straight in there, Paddy. That's what I like. Top six.
Anticipating your next question, mate.
I think Newcastle will get 100 points. I think there's no. I think there's no chance.
You get terrible odds on that as well.
I think there's no chance Norwich finish above Newcastle. I think what Ian Holloway has said today on Sky about if they can sign McCormack, then that could be the difference between second and third is not far away from it. But I think Norwich probably do need another two good signings to get into second place, and I still think they might need another centre back. I hope that Ryan Bennett lifts his game as he often did alongside Close last year, but I'm not convinced, and he's got to stay fit as well.
I'm probably going to have to write a column on this in the week, and I haven't quite figured out how to phrase it yet, but I'm genuinely worried they're not going to finish in the top six. I think this might be the end of a cycle. I think the manager's got a lot to prove, and I think that there might be an over-reliance on players doing what they did 2 years ago and not quite being able to manage it, which I think will get me called negative by a lot of people, but I'm literally calling it as I see it. And 2 years ago I felt much more confident. I don't trying to analyse it with the head on, I don't see it.
And I think also what's going on at the top of the club, I know they've got a chief exec now, but that's taken a lot longer than it probably should have done. He's missed out on the summer at the club. It's just a bit too much upheaval in the wrong places, really. But I still think top six. Like you say, one or two injuries will finish that, but it's a decent.
Hey, I will spend all season hoping that I'm wrong. Jez Moxey, new chief exec. Paddy's probably going to come in, isn't he, after the transfer window's closed. But I guess, you know, it would have been very difficult for him to probably influence the current transfer window while it was going on anyway, and he'll have bigger fish to fry when he actually comes in, gets his feet under the table.
Seems to have a good CV, yeah. He's not particularly bothered, really, if I'm brutally honest, about the chief exec. It's more about the chief striker than the chief exec. He's obviously a safe pair of hands. He's, he divides opinion amongst Wolves fans, but they've got a lovely stadium there, apparently a nice new training ground, and he's overseen an ownership. So, you know, some would say that marks him out as a man who knows what he's doing.
He likes his development of a stadium, doesn't he? And someone pointed out on Twitter, we've now got a chairman and a chief exec who are both for safe standing. So,
yeah, but the law needs to change before Norwich can do that.
Well, see how it goes at Celtic.
Yeah, but that's a different jurisdiction.
Yeah, but if it goes well, there's no incidents, then the argument for becomes stronger, doesn't it?
Anyone want to mention Ipswich?
No.
Why would you?
Yeah.
Good. Right. Okay. Moving on.
Tickets still aren't on sale, are they? Which is a bit this close to the game. A bit unusual.
Yeah. They actually paid money for a player today, didn't they?
A lot of money, wasn't it? It's like six figures.
Yeah, 600,000 or something like that, wasn't it? Someone from Tottenham I've never heard of.
Peter. Right, okay, well, I think we've covered everything really there, haven't we? Blackburn, how exciting. We'll head to Ewood Park pad in renewed vigour and optimism. What have we got on this season, Pete, that we should flag up? Obviously, the new Pinker magazine is out. Definitely grab that from shops.
Yeah, smells really nice. And it's a good
is that a sale point, is it? Is it on the front cover?
When it came around the office, everyone was flicking through it, like, sniffing it.
It's
quality.
Quality. You can smell the quality. Yeah. Buy the magazine, it's brilliant. And then all the normal stuff, what do you want to flag up?
Oh, I think the main one is if you're listening to this on the podcast page, you'll see a button at the top that tells you to leave your message, hit the record button, and then you'll be given 30 seconds or so to leave your opinion on the latest game or any other thoughts, and then the best ones will be included on both the new Pinken show on Mustard TV and also in our next podcast.
So that button is pinken.com/podcast.
That is correct, and we'll put it in the bottom of stories as well. So,
and if you want Twitter and Facebook page.
Yeah, so yeah, just leave a quick message. You can do it on your laptop, your iPhone, your other phones are available, and your tablet, anything that's
not
got
the BBC,
anything that's got a microphone, and you can leave a message.
And you may have caught wind there that three up front is now called the Pinken Show. So it's got a wonderful new name, new credits.
On the coattails.
Riding on the coat. We're all one big happy family here, Pete.
So there'll also be plenty more on the final whistle, player ratings for the readers to vote, man of the match. You boys will be doing a short video clip that we've done throughout the summer. So
yeah, video is the future.
Facebook, yeah.
It's all about video. Has the Facebook page got an actual address thing?
I think it's just facebook.com/thepinken. It won't be too hard to find. Once you're on Facebook, give it a like.
Oh yeah, video of the future. Pad, what are you looking forward to most about that first working game?
3 points.
Wait, how long has it been since Norwich won on the opening day of the season?
There you go.
Find out later this week in the EDP.
Across how many pages?
At least 8, probably. Yeah, nostalgic photos and all.
There'll be loads of preview stuff in the paper, EDP and the Norwich Evening News, of course, loads of stuff. Pinken.com. I think that's got it covered. Gents, thank you so much. These guys will be back all through the season, along with some special guests, apparently. We've got a book. So we'll do that. In the meantime, thanks all for listening. Here's to a wonderful season yet again for Norwich City. Bye for now.